among the populace of our community for having imported into our midst a young woman of sporting morality, an incontrovertible aesthete by the name of Marisa, who had been drummed out of high-rolling society in Phoenix City, Alabama, after her health card had been punched so many times it disappeared into thin air. Now, this Marisa considered herself an interpretress of the modern dance, and lo, whenever the dulcet and mellifluous tones of Miss Peggy Lee were heard to resonate upon the Wurlitzer, singing that grand old American standard, Fever, Marisa would lose herself in an engaging series of peregrinations, pirouettes, and bumps and grinds, calculated to leave even the most casual of observers fraught with horns. On this particular night, Harvey and Marisa and a randy retinue of rednecks came stomping into charge. All the local good old boys bellied up the bar, snapping the suspenders on their big dance. Their left hands upraised in that fervid type of monodigital articulation which bespeaks an argument in progress about the relative merits of post-hole digging attachments for John Deere as opposed to massive Ferguson tractors. They turned about and beheld the entry of Harvey and Marita, and in a great man-swarm gaggle of Arcadian underachievers, they slewed crab-wise over the floor of that establishment, stoking the juke with coin in such a manner that Peggy Lee's Beaver played in 94. And Marita so lost herself in a transcendental evocation of her timeless art, struggling gamely, as it were, up the Olympiad of her self-expression, that she shucked her duds right on Charlie's terrazzo float. Now, that's the second most exciting thing that ever happened around the turkey farm after the great massacre of 53. I responded to this visual phenomenon of unslaked carnality by instantly proposing marriage to a one-eyed waitress who happened by. I didn't want to get into anything heavy. I just wanted to set up light housekeeping in a pup tent in the parking lot for closing time. I was out there with my borrowed ball peen hammer and my steel tent stake putting that mother up in the asphalt. Some idiot run over my foot with a pickup truck, emptied out his ashtray in my sleeping bag, peed my cook fire, and the woman rejected me. So I had to go home and write this damn song. I just wanted to tell you the true story so you'd understand where art comes from. We're cabaret on the highway. You know the time is 10 till 2. A pretty waitress at my table. A pretty waitress at my table. She say, what can I do for you? That's just what she said now, friend. Oh, baby, you know I'm so lonely and my mind is ill at ease. I need a woman to love me. Oh, but if you cannot love me, then Jack Daniels, if you please. Whiskey and water. Oh, whiskey and water. Here's to beer, pain, and sorrow. Jack Daniels, if you please.
What's that now, darling? Jack Daniels, if you please.
I know we've got some people in here today that are interested in the guitar, and I'd like to just, as we come down toward the end of the first installment here, play a little guitar piece. All you guitar pickers.
Thank you. I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed it today. I'd like to invite everybody to the workshop this afternoon. Where will it be at? Don't anybody go. This ain't them.
The workshop
works. All right. I'd like to thank you, and I'd just like to say, is there a man amongst you? Is there a woman amongst you who can tell me the meaning of nostalgia? What is nostalgia? Oh, no. What is it, running boards, rumble seats? Just those funky old 1955 Chevrolets? What is it? The old motion pictures, Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, Marlena Dietrich in The Blue Angel. What is it? What is it? We had two movie houses in our hometown. The Colony Theater at the south end of the street, where they showed the heavy psychedelic flicks like Fantasia. And at the other end of the street, the Baby Grand Theater. A dank, cavernous mouth of a place decorated in Renaissance redneck. Smelled like a Byzantine pissoir. We'd sit in there of a Saturday matinee and scarf up on those juju bees, junior mints, milk duds, Necco wafer, Jordan almonds, walnut, or sugar daddy. Remember those little sugar daddies?
Yeah!
Damn sticky thing. Get mad at your best buddy, Bogart your sugar daddy, and stick it in his ear. And there was always some little idiot in the audience. He'd sidle out in the lobby in the middle of the picture with a box of butter popcorn secreted under his McGregor windbreaker. He's up the water fountain, step on the switch, directing a clandestine crescent of clear water into the popcorn box, turning its contents into a soggy, glutinous, viscous, vegetable mass of oily corruption and putrescence. He would then ease up into the balcony, and at precisely the heaviest part of the flicker, the patrons there below would be startled to hear from out of this Stygian blackness above the non-sonorous sounds of gastronomical distress, as our young pilgrim leaned far out over the parapet, broadcasting the popcorn in a slimy torrent over their heads and shoulders, all the while going... It's got her like quail down there. The stout. What is nostalgia? Could it be? Could it be going to see the Grand Ole Opry? I'll never forget the first Grand Ole Opry show I ever saw. It was Ernest Tubb and Earl Scruggs and Mother Maybelle and the Carter Girls and John R. Cash. The little lady who stole our hearts away that night was named Martha Carson. Came out wearing a miraculous white dress and carrying a tiny tambourine with which she testified to the likes of Moses and Jesus. In those days, there were just two kinds of music that swung for the white world, Dixieland and white gospel music. What made this white gospel music swing the way it did? Well, sir, over to her right, she had a big burly fella slapping an upright bass into a hot microphone in double time. It sounded sort of like this. Over on the other side, she had three young men in business suits coming on a little bit like the Jordan A's. Right behind her, a 14-year-old boy with glasses, quarter of an inch thick, playing a big blonde Gibson guitar through a half-acre-sized silver-tone amplifier, a little bit like this. Snow White Dove to a paradise where music was the messenger. on the rock where Moses stood, on the rock where music stood. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. Oh, Santa, remember me. Oh, Santa, remember me. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood.
6 months later, we went back to the same auditorium to hear another Grand Ole Opry show. They brought out a young man from Memphis, Tennessee. They said, be kind to this boy. We think he's going to be a star. About that time, a strange-looking critter skittered out from the edge of the stage wearing a burgundy-colored tuxedo coat with his hair done up in a coiffure that cosmetic Scientology has long since dismissed as belonging to the era of the decadent duck's ass. First thing I noticed about this kid was he moved kind of funny. Next thing I noticed was he was using Martha Carson's bass player and little guitar man. Those boys playing the same righteous church licks behind him they played behind the lady. This time they played a whole lot in the sovereign key of E. Oh, look out now. Let's do this thing right. Oh.
you swing down, sweet chariot, stop it, let me ride. You swing down, chariot,
stop it, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, cause I'm the easy. I've got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop it, let me ride. You swing down, chariot,
stop it, let me ride.
I've got a home on the other side.
This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home in comfort as we fought the storm of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house grew in a shout. Now she trembles in the darkness as the lightning walks about. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix no shingles. Ain't got time to fix a pole. Got time to hold no hinges, no depend on no pain. I'll need this house no longer. Getting ready to leave the same.